From the Center for Investigative Reporting in PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson with a special edition of the Reveal podcast. The scenes of violence caught on video in recent days have been a painful reminder of the strained relations between police and African Americans in our nation. First, two men, one in Louisiana, another in Minnesota, died in officer-involved shootings.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted taillight in the back. And the police just, he's covered. He killed my boyfriend. He's licensed, he's carried.
Then in Dallas, at a large protest against police brutality, a lone sniper killed five law enforcement officers.
Is that a cop dead? Dude, that's a cop down.
This friction between police and the communities they serve is nothing new. What is new is the technology. Camera phones that record and transmit shootings live or within minutes. Now, these videos can make an instant impact across the nation, even globally. Now, these videos are typically made spontaneously. In Minnesota, the person who captured the video was in the car with the victim. In Baton Rouge, the videos were made by bystanders. In Dallas, the first video images we saw of the sniper shootings came from bystanders who were in the crowd. But there's also an organized movement of people who consider it their jobs to police the police. They show up at traffic stops, hang out at places with big police presence, record what police are doing, and post it online. Some people call them cop watchers. Last year, we brought you a story called Cops, Cameras, and Communities, a look at the cop watching movement in Texas, including in a suburb of Dallas, where tensions over the practice were on the rise. But our story begins in Austin.
How far?
When you start watching these videos, something immediately jumps out.
Back up until I tell you to stop. Back up.
These guys know each other by name.
Back up. Mr. Mueller, you need to back up.
How far?
That's because they're constantly watching each other.
We are at a DUI stop. Patrick Aborsi is here, and he's already barking orders at us. We would greatly appreciate if anyone is nearby can videotape this for our safety. Thank you.
Reveal's Nina Satija picks up our story.
Antonio Buehler has taken hundreds of videos of Austin police. During the day, he runs his own education consulting business. But most Friday nights, he and his fellow activists drive around the city looking for police activity. I tagged along with them recently to see how it all works.
We are basically looking for sirens. We're looking for police flying by us, just driving around looking for action. It's in the poorer parts of town, the parts of town that have seen more historic police abuse.
That night, the group filmed a DUI stop and a couple of other traffic stops. Antonio calls them non-incidents, but he still posts them online. And that's usually how the night goes. But he's had his run-ins with the police.
Why are you bossing us around, Officer Johnson?
You're not bossing me around.
You are bossing us around.
Antonio showed me this video. It's another DUI stop. He and his group started filming about 20 feet away from the police, but officers kept asking them to move.
We are now nearly a half football field away from the suspect. Why are you being such a bully?
Okay.
I'm leaving.
You're going to jail.
I'm leaving.
Do not resist.
I was backing up.
Antonio ended up in jail that night for interfering with public duties, a misdemeanor in Texas. He was never convicted. So far, officers have arrested Antonio more than four times while filming or taking pictures of cops. He tells me he got into this almost by accident in 2012. The recording wasn't his. The video came from a police dashboard camera.
I was taking a buddy home from a party. We pulled into a gas station because we were running out of gas.
Don't touch me. You're on video.
That's good. Come on. You're done.
And while we were there, we observed the DWI stop in progress. Things at first looked normal, but then they seemed to get a little bit strange. Primarily the focus of the police on the passenger as opposed to the driver.
That's it.
They started twisting her arms behind her back. She was screaming and crying.
Help me, please! Get me out of the car!
We both just hopped out of the car. I walked to the back of the truck and I just started questioning the police officers. You know, why are you doing that?
Because I didn't shoot you guys.
I think I said, what the F are you doing that to a female for? Something to that effect. She was screaming, please help me. At some point, she said, please record this. So we both pulled out our cell phones and attempted to take pictures.
Then an officer walked up to him. Antonio tells him, that's not your job.
You don't know what our job is.
I do know what your job is.
No, you don't.
What are you questioning for? What are you trying to help?
Police say Antonio spit on the officer. He says he didn't. He was arrested for resisting arrest and harassing a public servant, but was eventually cleared. That whole experience led him to start the Peaceful Streets Project in Austin, a group that films cops on a regular basis. And they sometimes get arrested. The laws dealing with cop watching are fuzzy. Most experts and police agree that everyone has the right to film cops. What people don't agree on is how close they can get to the action. In the meantime, police and cop watchers are clashing across the country.
We've got an Oakland cop watch. We've got a Ferguson cop watch. We've got cop watches everywhere.
That's Jacob Crawford, one of the founders of the cop watch movement. He's also an investigator with a law firm that sues police departments for misconduct and abuse. Lately, he's been traveling the country, training cop watch groups and crowdfunding for cameras. Here in his office in Oakland, California, he empties a box of body cameras onto the couch.
Well, initially we were buying them for $40 a piece, and we've been getting these ones now for $15. They're small. They can just clip on. The cop can't say you were reaching for something or pointing something at you. So we've been handing out these body cameras en masse. We've handed out 200 in Ferguson, and we're about to buy 400 more. And the goal is by the end of the year to have handed out 1,000.
Activists like Jacob Crawford and Antonio Beeler say police behave differently when they know they're being filmed. They say police aren't as aggressive. But police say it's the cop watchers who can be aggressive.
They come up close. They sometimes engage us in conversation, sometimes very mockingly. They stalk police officers from the police station.
Wayne Vincent is a former president of the Austin Police Association. He says filming cops is fine, but he has concerns about groups like the Peaceful Streets Project.
My biggest nightmare is one of the followers of this group may take violent action against the police when they see the police doing something that they don't understand.
Police have also been wary of what the Peaceful Streets Project posts on social media. Here's one tweet from the project after the police shootings in Dallas. Don't blame Black Lives Matter for dead cops. Blame pig police. That was referring to Austin's police chief. The group also recently tweeted, killer cops need to be dealt with. In Austin, police are so concerned about what the cop watchers might do that they're turning the tables on them, keeping watch on the cop watchers.
I mean, there's just so much stuff.
That's Antonio Beeler again. He's showing me thousands of pages of police emails and documents he got through an open records request.
So I broke it off, like, here's the grand jury related information. Here's the information related to my arrest.
One document sticks out. It's a PowerPoint presentation put together by an Austin police officer. Here's the title, Criminal Profile of Domestic Extremism in Austin, Texas and the Surrounding Area. Peaceful Streets Project is listed as a threat that could match the FBI's description of domestic terrorists. Antonio says that's crazy, that there's never been any violence between Austin cop watchers and police. So I showed the PowerPoint to Austin Police Chief Art Acevedo to get his take.
Do you think that Antonio Beeler or the Peaceful Streets Project are examples of domestic extremism?
No, I don't think so. I just think that in terms of Antonio Beeler, he's a little bit misguided and a little disingenuous, but absolutely not.
The chief may say Antonio's not a threat, but officers have arrested him several times. Remember that video you heard earlier? The one where police kept asking Antonio to move?
Why are you being such a bully? Okay.
I showed it to the chief to see what he thought.
My response to that, I haven't read that report, but I can tell you that if an officer tells you to do something, you're better off complying with it. And then if you have a complaint, he's got it all on video. Then go through the process. I mean, it's not in the streets where you should be having this debate.
But Antonio Beeler says that's exactly where the debate should be happening.
I think that we need to change our thinking as to why should I back up? I'm not interfering. I'm exercising my rights.
This is our means of trying to hold them accountable. And they get upset with that. And that's why they come after people who are filming.
This may seem like a modern movement born in the age of YouTube and camera phones, but cop watchers say their roots go back to the 1960s and the rise of the Black Panthers, the militant group founded in Oakland, California. The Panthers staged marches and political rallies under the banner of protecting the Black community from the police. They monitored police calls and would rush to the scene of an arrest, carrying guns and law books.
The police in our community occupy our community as a foreign troop occupies territory.
This is the group's co-founder, Huey Newton, speaking in a jailhouse interview in 1968.
And the police are there not to promote our welfare, for our security and our safety, but they're there to contain us, to brutalize us and murder us.
But that early era of cop watching didn't end well. California lawmakers responded by banning the open carry of guns. Later, the FBI launched a campaign to destroy the Panthers. Hundreds of members were arrested or killed in shootouts with police. Most of today's cop watch groups don't think it's a good idea to carry guns while they're monitoring police. But not all of them.
All right, cop watch, April 16th. This is where you're supposed to be.
I'm riding with Corey Watkins around Arlington, Texas, just west of Dallas. He and a few other carloads of people are scoping out police activity and staying in touch with a smartphone walkie-talkie app called Voxer.
All right, hey, this is the Voxer check. Everybody check in. Ben, Franklin, Thrift, Kenny, Pablo, Brett Sanders, everybody here?
We are here.
Corey's a 31-year-old white guy. He's tall and skinny with cropped brown hair. He's wearing a narrow-brimmed hat. Propped between us is his loaded AK-47 rifle. It's legal to openly carry long guns like AK-47s and AR-15s in Texas. In the beginning of 2016, it also became legal to openly carry handguns in the state with the proper license. A few of the other cop watchers out that night are legally armed.
Kenny, don't forget about that pistol I put in your glove box, just FYI.
Corey is best known in Texas as a gun rights activist, but lately he's combined that with cop watching. He calls it open carry cop watch.
If people want to walk around with guns and film them, this is America. We have that right to do so. It's protected. And if they feel uncomfortable and they're afraid, they shouldn't have that badge on.
Corey's had a bunch of run-ins with Arlington police. The department wouldn't talk to me for this story, but you can get a sense of their concerns from watching videos like this one online.
If I can, I'll show you guys right here. If you try to walk, hey, that lady walked, I'm walking too, brother.
Corey's walking towards an area that's been cordoned off by police. As he gets closer, they get worried. And he walks right up to an officer. He's got an antique revolver on his hip, one of the few handguns that's legal to openly carry in Texas.
You're not approaching me with that pistol, dude.
Whoa, whoa, dude.
Put your hands behind your back for me a second.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The officer stops Corey and asks about his weapon.
What reason?
I don't know what you have on your hip. I'm trying to find out. It's just loaded.
Sir?
You walk up on an officer with a gun on your hip.
I have a camera in my hand with both hands on my camera.
It doesn't matter. I'm asking you, is this thing loaded?
Sir, this is a black powder revolver.
It said loaded.
It wouldn't matter. It's not.
Eventually, Corey tells that officer his gun isn't loaded. Another officer steps into the fray.
Exactly. I was walking down the sidewalk.
Y'all are here filming us on a police investigation.
And I had both
hands. With a weapon on your hip.
And I had both hands on.
That causes us safety concerns.
I had both hands on my camera.
Nevertheless, you have a weapon on your hip.
I told you guys repeatedly that I'm no threat to you.
Okay, but you got to see it from our point of view. We don't want somebody walking around with a possible gun on their hip.
You're an officer.
We're conducting an investigation.
We are going to have to change the law because of these groups and the position they have put all of our society in.
This is Frederick Frazier. He works for the Dallas Police Department as a detective and a lobbyist at the state capitol. Detective Frazier helped draft a bill that would require anyone filming police in Texas to stand at least 25 feet away. If they're carrying a gun, the distance jumps to 100 feet. There are some exceptions, like for credentialed news media.
Distance is our friend. And if you can keep a distance, we can do our job. There's no reason you cannot film from a distance and get the same results that you wanted in the first place.
Police groups praised the bill, but it didn't sit well with many conservative lawmakers. One called it an unconstitutional nightmare. and it was withdrawn before it ever got a public hearing. Frazier thinks the bill will come back to life when something bad happens during a cop watch.
Somebody's going to get injured or die from this, and then everybody's going to say, what did we do to prevent this? And then we're going to go back and go, we did nothing.
Frederick Frazier said that a little more than a year before the recent Dallas police shootings. They've sparked a lot of debate about police activism and open carry laws in Texas. For now, cop watchers will keep watching. And so will police. This is from the same video you heard earlier, where police were arguing with Corey about his gun.
There's about three police officers recording. I think they feel threatened because I have a black powder revolver on my side. Look at one officer recording right here. This officer's recording back there. This one's recording on his vest.
Almost everyone in the scene has a camera and a gun. It's like a weird video standoff. And each side is waiting for the other to do something worth getting on tape.
In the years since this story first aired, a lot has happened, and yet very little has changed. The police, tasked with a tough job, feel like some of the cop watchers are getting in the way. And as more news hits about police-involved shootings, the cop watchers feel justified. Both sides seem to think technology, smartphones, and police body cams are the solution. But as both have proliferated, the issue of who's watching whom and why remains. Nina Satija is a reporter for Reveal and the Texas Tribune. You can read her story at revealnews.org. Michael Montgomery co-produced this segment, and thanks also to editors Cheryl Duvall and Corey McClagan. Our sound design team is the Wonder Twins, my man Jay Breezy, Mr. Jim Briggs, and Claire C. Note Mullen, with help this week from Peter the Atomic Dog Kahnheim. Our head of studio is Krista Scharfenberg. Amy Powell is our editor-in-chief. Suzanne Reber is our executive editor, and our executive producer is Kevin Sullivan. Our theme music is by Camarado, Lightning. Support for Reveal is provided by the Reeve and David Logan Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, and the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation. Reveal is a co-production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.